Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Today's Friday, August 21st. It is a Friday. We are happy. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Sam.
I always have to remind myself that Fridays are a good day because I don't have a lot to do. You know, I try to keep it like kind of light to help the welcome the weekend.
So you plan a light day?
Yeah.
Good.
That's what I do plan.
Great.
So yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We have great weather. I really enjoyed the weather recently. You know, it's been really, really nice. I don't mean like overcast in the morning, but later
on. Oh, okay.
On,
weather are you talking about?
Yeah, because we have June gloom now in August. So go figure. But no, I mean, after a couple hours, it burns off, and it's just been beautiful, not too hot.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a nice weekend.
Nice breezes and everything, so that should be nice. In a few minutes, we're going to have guests calling in. In fact, three people are going to be calling in regarding a film that they've made, and that should be pretty interesting, so we'll get to that in a moment. You know, after we had our guest here about the credit and stuff, I've really become interested in that, so... So I ran credit reports and stuff. You know how to get them for free?
Yep.
Yeah. So you can do that. And I highly recommend everybody get their credit reports. You can get free ones every year. You go to, I think it's annualcreditreport.com. And you can just Google it. And so I also started like being interested in other books on credit and stuff. And it's very interesting that a lot of people have... it all comes down to disputing the charges. So I'm going to try and see what I can do. I mean, it's always cool to improve your credit a little bit.
You know?
So we'll see. I'll have to see. But a lot of people are saying, you know, people that review the books are saying, yeah, I tried this and my score went up and these items came off and stuff. So maybe there's something to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm good.
Yeah. Feeling good?
Yeah.
Prepared for the weekend?
Yes.
Good.
I'm excited for a relaxing weekend.
Really?
Yep.
So you're not going to do a lot?
I mean, I'm going to do stuff, but not like all day, every day. Like tomorrow, I'm going to a friend's Malibu house again. Sunday, a friend is having like a pool party. Mm. But I think I'm going to try and relax otherwise.
Yeah.
And those are relaxing things.
Those are relaxing things, absolutely.
So, yeah. That's it. That's my big weekend.
Sounds good. Well, sounds more exciting than mine.
What are you going to do?
I'll tell you Monday.
Okay.
What was it? There was one story that... Oh, did you hear about the... there was a search warrant served on Gene Simmons... from Kiss.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, they decided to search his house, but they're saying not him and none of his family are implicated in this, but that some kind of child abuse happened in his house.
Yes, which I would like to know more about, because how does that happen when no one's home, and who does it, and is it like somebody on your staff?
Right.
Or did somebody, I mean, it's probably hard to break into somebody's house like that.
Yeah, I don't think somebody broke in. I don't think that was the problem. But, you know, some people let other people hang out when they're not in town.
Right.
I don't know. You know, I mean, they're not saying anything now, but I'm sure we're going to find out something. And but it's terrible, you know. I mean, that's why don't lend your stuff to people, you know. You give somebody a car, they'll go get they'll get involved in a crime or something. Suddenly, you're part of it.
Right. Or trust who you're loaning your things to.
Yeah. That's true. But you got to, yeah. I mean, these things, it's like, but don't borrow money from friends, man. You borrow money from friends, you're going to lose the friend and your money.
Right. You said that yesterday.
Did I really?
That same exact thing.
Oh, okay.
But so.
You see, that's why I have you here to remind.
Yes, I guess. So I wonder who it was that did, you know, this act of, what is it, child abuse or.
Yeah, some kind of sexual impropriety. impropriety.
Is it like a abuse against children or something? Right. I don't know.
Yeah,
that it
did have to do something with children.
So I guess we'll find out more about it. But they're being cooperative, the Simmons family.
Right.
And
yeah, they're
it's
just
not involving them, which is nice because we don't really need one more scandal.
Right. They're saying it's online crimes against children. So yeah. Maybe somebody just used their computer.
Maybe.
To see like child pornography or
maybe.
Something. You know, maybe nothing really happened there physically. So
I wonder if they tracked it by like the IP address or something.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, that's how they do this. That's probably how they found Fogle. And
no, well, there's a story about how they found him.
Really?
Yeah, it's like top headline is that a woman has actually been recording him in the conversations he's had with her about like, I think they met at like an interview and she became like his friend. And so he would confide in her about like his love of like young children. And she recorded him and worked with the FBI to bring him down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. You got to do the right thing, you know,
absolutely.
Friend or not a friend. You got to do the right thing.
Yep.
I guess she also probably figured if he knows about this and doesn't report it, she could be implicated in this. Right. Yeah. So you pretty much don't have a choice. If you find out about a crime, you got to report it.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. I guess North Korea is trying to start a war. Like they always are. They're very, very unpredictable. And hand on the trigger all the time. I don't know what it is with this guy that's the head of North Korea, but they're constantly looking for reasons to fight. And, you know, I mean, I can try and understand why, because they're such an isolated...
So you're saying he
nation.
Wants to start war on South Korea?
On South Korea,
not just
you.
On any country.
No, okay. Exactly. Because they've been sparring since the Korean War.
Right.
Nothing's ever improved there. So what they have is they have, like, loudspeakers on the border with propaganda and stuff, the South Koreans do. So the North Koreans are threatening them to take those down, and if not, you know, they're going to mobilize their army and everything. So, I mean, that's a touchy situation. In fact, they're saying, you know, believe it or not, but it's not the Middle East, but the demilitarized zone between North Korea and South Korea that are the most... potentially explosive parts of the world.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
Well, I think because North Korea has a nuclear bomb, you know, and it's such an unpredictable country, unstable country, that it's scary, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, I think it's scary, especially with, like, he's such a hothead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're not doing anything about that nuclear bomb they have?
Well, what can we do?
I don't know.
Yeah. We try to make a deal with them when Clinton did, and look, they have a bomb now. So, yeah. So some countries, you know, are dangerously close to nuclear war, and that's the thing. I mean, we used to fear the Soviets and stuff, but at least they had reasons to be stable, more or less. But these countries, I mean, it's one person that makes the decision, so that's pretty scary stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, when you're president, there's a lot of stuff to handle.
Yeah.
I don't know how they can do that. You know, although they do have teams and everything, that's for sure. But still, there's just so many different variables in what's going on in the world.
I mean, there's world things. There's, like...
Domestic
yeah,
things.
Yeah, there's
right.
just too much to deal with, and it's just a lot. I don't know how they do it.
Right.
And they have to be everywhere at the same time, and they have to have the right answer all the time.
Right. And, yeah... And, yeah, so it's hard to hold a good approval rating. I guess Obama's rating is pretty low. They're saying that 51% now disapprove of his job in the White House. And that's up from 49. So, yeah. But you know what? Usually I think a president gets to his last year and, you know, they're just like, they don't really do much. I mean, he's trying to do a lot. I mean, I'm not saying that, but it's they start losing their popularity. I think people get tired of him after a while. I don't know. And plus, they've had enough opportunity to screw up, you know. So, yeah.
This is why I'm going to move to one of Jupiter's moons.
You think you're going to do that?
Yeah, they're finding like places we can like actually live. So,
Really? What, are they finding water and stuff?
Yep, on the moons. They
the
have
moons
like,
of Jupiter?
Yeah, they have like habitable zones, like where they're finding like oceans and things. So that would make it so we could actually like live there. I don't know when, at what point we would actually be able.
You're saying actual oceans, not like dried up oceans.
No, oceans.
Really?
Yeah.
How come I never heard of that? I guess I haven't really been.
It's in the news today, so.
Oh, it is today?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's, wow, that's pretty revolutionary.
Yeah. And one of the moons is called Europa. So I'm like, that's probably my moon.
Mm. I've heard of Europa, yeah. Well, that's what Europe was. Well, either way. That no, I think they named it after a goddess or something, right?
Probably.
So Europa and Europe and stuff.
Yeah. But so NASA has a $30 million budget in 2016 to go to Europa. And see where else we could actually, like, be and exist in on Jupiter's moons.
And how long does it take to get to Jupiter? How long did it take them? The satellite or whatever they sent up there?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, here, I think our guests are calling in now. So we'll try and figure them out because they're calling from separate lines. So we're going to head and go there. Good morning, folks. You're on the air. I'm hearing a woman, so this has have to be Camille, right?
Yes, and I also have Blake with me.
Hi, Blake and Camille.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, welcome to the show. You guys are calling us from, are you in L.A.? Are you guys in L.A.?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Oh, awesome. So we're going to have another call. I guess we're waiting from the person that wrote the score for the film.
Yes, correct.
Right.
Yes.
And that's
AM.
AM sounds good. So we'll wait for AM to call in. You guys, did you just release your short film?
We did, and it's been making the festival circuit, and we're very excited and very proud of this film, of course.
Right.
It's just beautifully done, and we're very happy with it.
Very cool. The film is called...
Very simple.
The film is called Alone Together.
Alone Together.
And that's a short film, from what I understand. Tell us a little bit about what the film is about.
Well, it's about... You know, it's funny because it has sort of a surprise ending, which I probably shouldn't say, but it basically leads you down this path where you're kind of seeing this man and thinking that he's going through this, you know, very strong emotion, and then you see, then at the very end, you see it from a completely different perspective, and at the very end, it completely shifts everything that you've seen and makes you question every single piece.
Wow, I love that kind of movie, you know, when it twists at the end like this, and then you have to watch it again to see what you missed, you know.
Yes,
that's
yes,
very cool.
Exactly.
So how did the film come?
Lots of little Easter eggs.
What's that?
Lots of little Easter eggs when you go back and watch knowing, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
The outcome.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting exercise in perception and... the power of film, TV, any sort of media to, you know, manipulate someone's point of view.
Exactly.
Wow. So that's pretty timely, I guess, you know, with all the stuff that's happening with identity theft and things like that, you know. I wanted to ask you, so you guys apparently produced, wrote, and directed the film. And how do you make a film together, two people together? I mean, does one come up with the idea and another comes up with another idea? How does it work when you collaborate like that?
Beautifully. Blake and I are a wonderful team. It's funny. Blake and I started working together years ago. I was his producer and he was the director, and we had such a wonderful collaboration. We just started working on all these projects together, and I mean, like, maybe 12 projects in like 2 years or something, like a lot. And it worked so well, we said, you know, let's get married. We got married. And we just, work is a big part of our relationship, and it's just a really beautiful harmony. We're constantly bouncing ideas back and forth off each other and, you know, keeping each other in check and moving forward to the best. And it's wonderful.
Sounds great.
It's a great collaboration.
Yeah. I just added AM to the line. Are you here with us?
Yes.
Okay. Hi. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
AM.
Good morning.
What's going on, guys?
You guys to have a little conversation this morning over the air, and that's cool. So, tell us, how long did it take to make this film, guys?
To film it was 2 days.
In two days.
Wow.
We moved. We had to hustle pretty quick.
Yeah. Why is that? Were you limited by budget or something? Or
yes. Yeah. But we spared no expense. Every penny went to the screen. Like, it's an Arri Alexa, and we had this beautiful, like, 30-foot jib with, like, a fluid. So it has all these beautiful, like, big sweeping movements, and it's beautiful.
Wow, wow. Well, I can't wait to see it. Now, AM, you're involved with the film, too. What was your role in the film?
I composed the music.
Oh, you made the music for the film. So, now, how long did it take to make the music for a film like this?
Gosh, I can't really remember. I've got musician brain, so I can't really remember. I don't know. I think it was like a couple of weeks of, but not every day. It was like a few sessions, and then I would go back to Camille and Blake and kind of show them. Well, I think I did something kind of in the beginning that was like just kind of a rough idea, like, hey, do you guys like the idea of this before I get, all the way into it? And they were like, yeah, I like this idea. And so then I would go back to them again and be like, hey, so what do you think about this? And then they would be like, okay, how about a couple tweaks here? And then, so we just kind of like got it, back and forth and got it dialed in the way that they wanted it.
That's interesting. So you guys collaborated on that as well. Now, I imagine you have to, now the way to score a film is you have to watch it, and do you then get ideas of what the music should be, AM?
Yes. And often the director has some kind of idea, a general idea as to what they're after, but that's like my job is to, because directors generally aren't musicians, so we have to it's my job to interpret kind of what they're wanting to get across, that's the challenge and the fun of it,
Yeah.
So they'll give me kind of a general idea, and then I'll go back to my little secret laboratory and try and imagine what the sounds might be as to what, it would translate from the words they were describing.
Wow, very cool. So I imagine this was not your first work scoring your film, right? Have you done this before?
I've done one before. And I've done a bunch of, I've had a bunch of my work and featured in various films and television shows over the years. So I'm not new to it.
Good. Well, so they got themselves a professional. Now, Camille and Blake, I wanted to ask you, so now you make a short film. How do you distribute it? I mean, obviously, people don't go to the theater to watch a two-minute film. So how do you distribute a film like this?
Well, you go to film festivals. We actually had our previous short distributed by a channel called Shorts HD.
Uh-huh.
Which is on like DirecTV, it's a channel on DirecTV. Yeah. A lot of programmers go to these short festivals looking for content. You can self-distribute on the internet, of course. Mainly it's a calling card for us as filmmakers for our bigger projects, saying, hey, here's the kind of storytelling that we've done and the production value that we've brought. Here's our next project, which is a feature film with X, Y, and Z elements,
Yeah, that's interesting.
So and there's more of a market now than ever for short films with YouTube and all the online outlets.
Right.
Whereas before, there was nothing,
Yeah.
Except media in general is getting kind of shorter. Like little snippets of things, like they'll need little movies for, your phone or advertisements or things like that. It's actually getting kind of popular.
That's true. That's true. So now, where can people see the film? Alone Together is the name.
Come on down to the screening. It's going to be on 10 o'clock on Labor Day. It'll be at the Los Angeles Shorts Festival at LA Live downtown.
Awesome. Oh, nice.
10 p.m.
Yes,
okay, sir.
Cool. Now, if people are not in LA, do they have a way to watch it as well?
Right now, it is a private link because it's in the festival. However, they can always call us if they're interested and contact us at info@unitedfilmhouse.com, and we'll be happy to share it.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
Or email.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Email us.
Okay. So, is there a website for the film, too?
It is on our website, which is unitedfilmhouse.com.
Unitedfilmhouse.com. So you guys can check it out, find out more information about the film. Now I'm really curious because if there's a twist, I love movies like that. You know? Very cool. So do you want to talk a little bit about your bigger project, or is it too soon to talk about that?
Never too soon.
No? Okay, so tell us what you're going to do with that one.
Well, we have films. We have two that we're packaging one right now. One that has Kyle Gallner in it, and he was in American Sniper and Nightmare on Elm Street, and Virginia Madsen is also on board. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful film. It's we're packaging it right now, like I say, and it's set in the 1930s about a young man who is forced to seek sort of a reverse dowry to marry the love of his life, and he comes back with this money and this car, and they're like, oh, did you gamble it away? Did you win it on the horses? And he says no, and he goes into this fantastic adventurous story of this train robbery, and they robbed this coffin, and that's the only thing they took, and it had the wrong body in it, and they dumped it like a few miles away, and it just goes on this wild tale of fun and adventure, and they sort of, it's like three timelines. It's the story he's telling his fiance, the story that really happened, and then the adventure itself. I'm sorry, so he's talking to his girlfriend like in real time, the adventure, and then what really happened, and they all come together at the end in this really satisfying way.
Wow.
It's beautiful. It's called The Flyer Hold Up.
That's very cool. So you guys like
it?
So you guys like to play with
it's
the structure.
Based on it,
I'm sorry.
Based
sorry.
On a short film. I'm sorry, based
it's
on a novella.
It's boy, yeah. It's about the Flyer Hold Up's based on a novella by Harry Stephan Keeler, who was a pulp novelist in the 1920s and 30s. Oh. He kind of has a cult following, too, so if you want to look up his, that style of storytelling was something he did, was called webwork storytelling, where he had all these crazy plots and twists and things that somehow all came together in the end in a really satisfying way. So
yeah,
interesting. Harry Stephan Keeler.
Oh, and then, so that sort of structure to film appeals to you guys, where you have like different stories happening and there's twists and stuff, which is very cool. I wanted to ask you guys, when did you start making films?
Oh, gee. I started producing about 7 years ago. No, maybe more like five.
Mm.
Before that, I was a makeup artist.
Okay.
But I was like, I know that I can do these things myself, and I did.
Wow, how cool is that? Very nice. And
Blake?
Yeah, I'm Blake.
I moved out to Los Angeles in 1998, and I started working as an editor. And, you know, my aspirations have always been to direct and produce. And so I guess that's what, 1998, 17 years?
Very cool. So you guys...
The journey began.
Yeah, so you guys have been doing this for a while. And AM, I wanted to ask you now, so you're obviously good with scoring films. Do you do any other type of music as well?
I'm an artist, a singer-songwriter, first and foremost. So I've put out several records under AM. I have a duo project called AM and Sean Lee that I've put now three records out under. And I do a lot of, like I said, a lot of work for film and television, a lot of, you know, custom work for commercials and television shows and films that, that sometimes lie within my artist world and sometimes are part of other collaborations,
right,
stuff like that.
Okay, and do you want to, do you have any contact information if people want to get a hold of you
For some project? Yeah, you can just hit amsounds.com, that's my website, and get a glimpse into the world of what I do. I'm also, basically, if you just put AM Sounds into Google, most of my socials will pop up. And
excellent music.
Great. Well, we're looking forward. She said excellent music.
Mm. It is. It is. I highly recommend everyone to come check it out. He's a wonderful musician.
Great.
Very talented.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool. Well, so if you're in LA, you can go in and watch the film in September. When again in September? LA Shorts Fest?
Yes, it's at the Los Angeles Short Film Festival, and that's Labor Day. So, but 10 o'clock at night, and we'll be there.
Oh, you guys will be there too. Cool. Then we can meet you. That'll be
nice.
That's
right.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And
thank you very much.
Yeah, and everybody, check out the movie Alone Together. We have Camille West and Blake West, and of course AM, who took care of the music for the movie. That's it, folks. Thank you so much, and much success to you with all your film, all your work.
Okay.
Thank you. Have
Bye-bye.
A good day.
Bye. Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Wow. I mean, I always admire when people make films, you know, because, I mean, look, I think writing a book is an accomplishment in itself, and you don't even have to deal with other people. But with a film, it's like everything has to come together.
Right.
You know. So, do you have a film in you, or do you think you'd ever get into film?
You've asked me that before. No.
I know I have. You always remind me when I ask you things,
yes.
But not everybody listens to every
show. So you're asking for them. So, for those listening, I probably don't have a movie in me. It's just not something I'm interested in doing.
Yeah.
I'm more interested in producing like TV shows or like shorter form things.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You can make a 2-minute film.
I don't have any desire to do that.
No desire.
Still no.
Okay.
No.
All right. No, because you said produce short things, so.
Short form, like TV, though.
Oh,
like,
TV.
I don't, a film to me is like, I'm not artsy like that. I'm just never been. I'm more structured and like, I would like to, I don't know, like reality concepts and things like that are more in my wheelhouse.
Okay. So you don't read like a lot of fiction? You're not into fiction that much?
No, I don't read any fiction. I read self-help books and things that are based on true stories.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mostly read too. But sometimes a novel or two are pretty cool. Takes you away somewhere. Any new films coming out, Jen?
I don't know. Not that I've seen or not that I'm planning on seeing.
Mm.
What about you?
Maybe we should look it up real quick and see what movies are coming out this weekend, because I would like to see a couple films. I wouldn't mind that at all.
Are you going to take your parents?
No, I'm not going to take my parents because they don't get into this kind of stuff. They're not into new movies. Yeah, my dad is like after Westerns now, so I'm playing Westerns for him. Okay, the movie Hitman, Agent 47, only 8% on Rotten Tomatoes. Maybe because it's based on a video game or something. I don't know, but
it's a good cast.
Yeah, huh? I don't know why it's so bad, or as far as the reviews are bad. But that's coming out, that's the date, August 21st. American Ultra. Oh, that's with Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart. I do like Jesse Eisenberg a lot, so I'll probably see that. I don't know what it's about, though. But I've heard of it.
A stoner who's a government agent is marked by liability and targeted for extermination, but he's too well-trained and too high for them to handle.
Oh, wow. Sounds cool. I like him. I mean, I even saw the movie Rio just to hear his voice.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. And, of course, I got to catch up on Mission Impossible. They got 93%. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. 66% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I kind of want to see that. The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yeah.
I also want to see She's Funny That Way, because the cast is amazing.
She's Funny That Way?
Yeah.
And who's that with?
Owen Wilson, Imogen Poots, Catherine Hahn, Will Forte, Reese Aphens, and Jennifer Aniston.
Wow, that's a lot of cool actors. I'm not seeing it here. What's it called again?
She's Funny That Way. It's on the set of a playwright's new project. A love triangle forms between his wife, her ex-lover, and the call girl turned actress cast in the production.
Oh, wow. What a story that will be.
That looks good. Also, what's this? With Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, there's a new movie with
him? Some Kind of Beautiful, a drama about a Cambridge poetry professor who begins to reevaluate his life of Byronic excess.
Mm.
I'd like to see that, actually. It's Pierce Brosnan, Salma Hayek, and Jessica Alba.
Wow, sounds pretty cool. But, you know, when they cast these guys, you still can't help but look at him as James Bond, you know?
I don't.
No?
No, because I've seen him in a lot of movies, so I don't see
him. Oh, Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah.
Really? Because even the movies I saw were like action films, you know?
He was in Mamma Mia. He played one of the
suitors.
Right. He's been in a bunch of things, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. He was a cool James Bond, though. The other day, I caught a few scenes of it. My daughter was watching, and I forgot how cool he is. I love James Bond. Do you? Do you get into it at all?
I'm not that into it.
I know. It used to be a lot more part of the culture than it is now. But, yeah, it's a franchise that's been around for 50 years. There's a new one coming out. This holiday season, I think.
Another James Bond?
Yeah. But I'm not into Daniel Craig at all. I think he's done 3 films already. I didn't like any of them. Mm-hmm. And I'm a James Bond big fan. So they just changed it a lot, I think. The whole formula has changed.
Also, that's out in theaters right now is Straight Outta Compton. And that's been getting like a lot of press on it.
Right. And did very well in the box office, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really want to see it. I don't know that I'm going to go to the theaters to see it, but I want to see it.
You think it'll be dangerous?
I don't know. I mean, they're saying that they've amped up security for that particular movie, and like also a lot of theaters, you know, have amped up their security anyway because of recent shootings. But I just also don't really like going to theaters. And then this is one of those movies that I feel like people are going to make a lot of noise for. So, no thanks.
Yeah, we'll pass.
Watch it from my couch.
Right. But I think it is pretty cool because it probably shows like the beginning of a culture that's so like prevalent now, you know. And all these guys that started with hip hop and rap and so forth.
Yeah, the group NWA.
Right.
So I think that it's probably a great movie. It's gotten great reviews. I'd love to see it.
Mm. And it's got good actors too, right?
Yeah, Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, Ice Cube.
Right.
MC Ren and DJ Yella.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
I mean, they did real good marketing with that Straight Outta Compton thing.
Yeah. Did you see that? Everybody used the logo for, like, other things, like straight out of something else.
It's part of their marketing. They have a website where you can type in where you're straight out of.
Oh, really? And then you can get the logo and put it anywhere? Yeah. That's what I figured, because I was wondering where people get the logos, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, we did it for Two Drunk Girls.
That's a cool marketing thing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's pretty clever. So, talking about films, I guess they're saying who the highest paid actress is. You probably saw that, right?
Yep, Jennifer Lawrence, $52 million.
Why is it? I'm not surprised. When I saw the headline, I thought it has to be her. She's just been in a lot of different things, you know?
She's been in a lot of different things, American Hustle, all of the Hunger Games, and she's just, I mean, she's killing it. She was in Silver Linings Playbook. You know, she's been in a bunch of different things. I think people really like her. She's like a, you know, America's sweetheart.
Right. Yeah. And I like her, too. I mean, she seems like just so, she's really into her acting, you know. I mean, she's really convincing. I like to watch her. And, you know, I mean, I haven't really seen The Hunger Games, but I saw part of them. And I just saw, you know, always like clips of her acting and stuff. And I felt that she seems pretty talented.
I would, you know? Yeah, she's quite believable in any role she plays.
Right.
And she just seems like an awesome person when you hear her interviews and like what she sort of stands for.
Right.
She doesn't want to be what everyone thinks Hollywood should be.
Yeah. Does she live here in L.A.? Do you know?
I don't know.
Because some stars don't live here, right. You know? They don't want to be part of the L.A. scene and stuff.
I'm not sure. I also wasn't... I believe she was dating Chris Martin from Coldplay, so I don't know where he lives. Maybe London, so maybe she goes back and forth there.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still dating or not.
Interesting. And who else? Let's see. The second one is Scarlett Johansson. So if you're wondering, I guess Jennifer Lawrence made $52 million over last year, and then Scarlett Johansson made $35 million. But I don't remember her being in a lot of things in
the past year. She was in the Avengers.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, but she hasn't really done a lot lately. She used to be a lot more active in films.
If you work 1 year and you make $32 million and you do one movie, I think you're enough, doing right? Okay. So if I were her, I would do the same thing.
Right. So she made a cool $35 million, and then Melissa McCarthy at number three with $23 million.
Which is awesome because the first two females are like, I don't know, like sex symbols, but like, you know, pretty, you know, gorgeous women, and they're like fashion icons or whatever you would call them now. And then Melissa McCarthy is like all comedy.
Right.
So for her to be the third highest female earner says a lot.
Right. No, I mean, and she's been a lot of things, you know, she's been very active in what she does.
Yeah. And Bridesmaids, Tammy, The Heat? Yeah, The Heat.
Is that the one where she was a spy?
No, that okay, was Spy.
That was Spy, right? So she was in that.
Then she was in Identity Thief.
Yeah, I remember that.
She's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
And she like writes and acts and the whole thing.
Yeah, she's very talented. What show is she on TV? Is that Modern Family?
Mike and Molly.
Mike and Molly, yeah. Is that where she started pretty much her career, you think? Or her? Like,
I don't think or no. I have no idea.
Okay. I mean, but you don't remember seeing her in anything before that, right?
She was first brought to my attention in Bridesmaids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's after the show started, right?
I don't know anything about Mike and Molly. Right. I just know that it exists.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know what order it came in.
Okay.
I know that she's been writing for a long time, so I don't know when that started or when I first noticed her.
Yeah.
Probably Bridesmaids.
Wow. Yeah. And so they're also talking about male actors, and they're saying the best paid male actor is Robert Downey Jr. with a whopping $80 million.
Yep, which is $30,000 more than Jennifer Lawrence, the highest paid female.
So $30,000? You meant $30 million.
I mean $30 million. Sorry, $30 million, which is a lot of money. Yeah. And they're still saying, you know, why are men making so much more than women?
Do you think they draw bigger box offices? Is that why? Because I think usually people get paid in relative to what they can bring in, right?
I would guess that's the case. Also, how long you've been around. Also, if you're a producer on the project,
right? Yeah,
I know he and his wife produce together. So,
yeah. I don't know. They're saying that only four actresses on the list earned more than $20 million, while 21 male actors make $20 million or more. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'd like to believe there's no discrimination in Hollywood, but maybe there is. You know, it's hard to believe when you see all these big actresses. They're so successful, and then people are still saying, oh, you know, there's inequality in Hollywood.
Well, while we think it's successful that they make that much money, it is still in comparison to what men make. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was a standalone and we weren't comparing it, that's very great. Like, that's a lot of money.
Right.
But, of course, you have to compare it because that's what people do.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I still think people get paid relative to what... In other words, if Jennifer Lawrence could bring in more money than Robert Downey Jr., I'm sure she would get more money.
I get
you. Don't you think?
I would agree with that, yeah. But I don't know how they
but
do it.
But that's just logical, right? I mean, it doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen.
Right. Yeah. And we don't know the inner workings of their finance systems.
Right.
Or what they're promised to do things.
Yeah. Wow. Hollywood is an interesting place, let me tell you. Let's see. Who else is on the list? I guess Jennifer Aniston with 16 million. Julia Roberts, 16 million, who hasn't really done much lately. Angelina Jolie at 15 million. Reese Witherspoon, Anne Hathaway, and Kristen Stewart round out the top 10.
Those are, I think that makes sense.
Yeah, right? They all deserve.
That's who we see in every movie, so.
Yeah, I know. Though Jennifer Aniston, she'd probably make more. I mean, she's in so much stuff. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't, what has she been in recently?
All these comedies and stuff that she does all the time, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't see her movies, but I remember her in something recent.
She was in a really dark movie last year.
Really?
Called Cake. It was like a small, almost like indie movie, which I don't think they paid her a lot for.
Yeah.
Because it's indie.
Yeah.
But she was nominated for an Oscar. Or no, maybe she wasn't. That was the whole issue. Mm. Was she wasn't nominated. But she was phenomenal.
Mm. Yeah. Cool.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, if I saw it, you'd know.
Got it.
And then I wanted to discuss this. This is really cool. I guess the women that graduated from the Ranger School, from the U.S. Army's Elite Ranger School, two women graduated there for the first time, Captain Kristen Greist and First Lieutenant Shay Haver. And they made history, I guess. So that's pretty good. Pretty good. And they graduated alongside 94 men. So that's like a big deal.
That is a big deal.
You know? Wow. Can you imagine them now fighting?
No.
I know. I can't either, man.
But I guess they're going to, right?
Right. I mean, one of them looks totally... She cut her hair short and... Well, maybe both of them did. I know that sometimes... women soldiers don't always cut their hair like... They don't always crop it like they do here, but it's... at least one of them looks like that. And, yeah, I wouldn't be caught in her crosshairs, let me tell you. You know, they're pretty... if a woman can go through all this rigorous stuff that's meant for men, then you have to salute her for that. You know. And I think it'll be pretty cool to see, although we probably won't know what it is that they accomplished because it's all secret stuff.
Which I'm okay with.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There are certain people to do that job I would not be able to, and I don't know that I want to know about it.
Yeah.
But more power to them. Yeah. I did read, though, that there is the new top 10 list of best restaurants in the United States, and two of them are in L.A.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, which ones?
So I would like to go to those two.
Okay, you haven't been to either one?
No, Giusta in Venice.
Uh-huh.
It's the same people that did Jelena.
Okay.
And Petit Toit.
I haven't heard of that.
It's French.
Right, and where's that?
It's near like where I think like Highland and Melrose or Beverly are. It's like where Moza is. There's new restaurants in that area.
Right. Yeah.
So it's over there.
Cool.
Yeah.
So two restaurants. Where else? In New York, probably.
New York, San Fran, Seattle, Davidson, North Carolina, Austin, Texas, Chicago, and Indianapolis.
Oh, wow.
So okay. Pretty across the board.
Yeah.
None in Miami.
Are those all...
Not surprised.
Those are probably like all expensive restaurants, right?
I would guess they're probably more expensive than less expensive.
All right.
Giusta, I think, is not that expensive. Petit Toit, I think, is probably expensive. Yeah. As far as the LA ones go that I know about.
Mm. Yeah, the Giusta is worth a try because, I mean, Venice is cool. You know, nice mix of people and stuff. So it could be pretty cool. We'll see. Maybe we'll check it out. I always like to find new places. But there's no way I'm going to spend $150 a person on dinner.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense to me. And we continue with Donald Trump. Somebody actually said, an analyst said, he could carry all 50 states if he continues like this. Although there's no way, but, man.
Maybe there is a way. Maybe there's something that we don't know
about. There's so many people that don't like him.
And then there are people that do, so it's kind of like,
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah. He took some questions. Oh, we mentioned that yesterday. He was taking some questions, and a couple of reporters, he had a confrontation with them. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he doesn't really seem to care what people think. And, some people don't like that. But, you know, when you're offended by something, I think you got to look at yourself and why you're being offended by it.
Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame somebody else for being offensive. They can say whatever they want. They're just being themselves. So, yeah. Anyway, we're going to wrap up, folks. And Jen, have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too, Sam.
Yeah, everybody, enjoy yourselves. Don't work too hard. And we'll see you all on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.